Welcome to Let's Get Our Shit Together, a Lesley fangirl debrief on the latest in queer women of color representation in television and film. I'm Amira.
And I'm Aphrodite.
And in this week's episode, we are going to be covering season 2 finale of The Bold Type, episodes 9 and 10.
It's actually season 3.
So if you're wondering where we were last week. Oh, season 3, I'm sorry. Yeah,
yeah, season 3, I know.
This show is just going so fast. You know what, because we just recorded an episode with our friend Aaron about season 2 of Vita, mm-hmm. and so I think that's what was on my mind, and that's why I was thinking of season 2.
Yes.
So, Aphrodite, why don't you talk a little bit about that before we jump into things.
So, if you know anything about anything, Vita has been the talk of the town queer Latinx representation, and it's on Stars. The whole season dropped at once a couple weeks ago, but it took us a minute to all play catch up, binge watch the season, and then do our sort of debrief. And we did it on the Ship It Real Good podcast as guests with our friend Aaron, who we met at Klexicon. And we had a great time, like, talking about Vita, and Aaron is Latina herself, and she posted 3 episodes, not just one. We had so much to talk about. We broke it up into 3 episodes.
It was a lot.
I know.
Big debrief.
Exactly. So our debrief on Vita, if you're interested, is on the Ship It Real Good podcast. But if you follow us on Twitter at QWOCShip, we tweeted the links to those podcast episodes as well. So you can listen if you want. The first Vita episode debrief we did was about Eddie's storyline. And then the second mm-hmm. one is about Cruz and Emma or Crema. And then the third episode is about Emco, so Emma and Nico. So all of the goodies are on the Ship It Real Good podcast. If you want, if you've already watched all of season 2 of Vita, which I hope you have, you can go over to that podcast and listen to them. But if you haven't, there's still time. The good news is that Vita got renewed for a third season. I have to say, it surprised me that it got renewed because I'm always worried not enough people are watching it.
It surprised me that it got renewed so soon. Mm-hmm. I thought that there was going to have to be a whole campaign for it again. You know what I mean? Like all the other queer shows that are like in danger. Mm-hmm. But no, we didn't even need like a hashtag campaign or anything.
So I was really worried about ratings for season 1. And thankfully, season 2 seemed to have a little more buzz around it than season 1. I feel like more of my queer friends were watching it than in season 1. And if you have not watched Vita yet and you are averse to cishet or cishet sex scenes or sex scenes that involve men, I put together a very handy-dandy guide that I made actually for Amira
to
help you with your viewing experience. Because there are a number of sex scenes on Vita that involve cishet men, and there's just like some cishet fuckery that I didn't want to watch. But I posted mm-hmm. like timestamps for when to fast forward if you don't want to see that stuff on my Tumblr.
Yep.
So you can
find very helpful.
Yes,
very
yes. Because there was quite a bit of peen, and that's just, you know, sometimes you don't want to see that because you already see it everywhere else.
Right. It's exhausting.
Yeah. So, anyways, that exists if you want it. But Vita was so fun to recap. And I'm really glad that we got as much representation as we did on that show, and we got multiple ships. Again, with this sort of, like, I don't know what's been happening, but we've had multiple, like multi-queer women of color ships going on. With Vita, we had Crema uh-huh. and Emco. With Charmed, we had that love triangle. And then now, also with the Bold right. Type, we've had a love triangle, too.
Another love triangle.
I know. It's like, I'm so into this trend, though, you know?
Yeah, like POC love triangles, like what could be better?
Right?
Yeah. So this episode is a very special episode for us. This is about a year mm-hmm. from when we started recording. Is that correct?
Yeah, yes. So we started June 16th, 2018 was when we posted our first episode. So it's been almost exactly a year since we first started and launched this podcast. So, like, for those of you who've been with us from the beginning, like, thank you. It's been so great.
We really appreciate it.
Yeah. And this episode that we're recording right now is, I think, episode 38. That's a lot of work. We really worked to try and keep up with shows, to put out content on a regular basis. But, like, a new episode every, like, week and a half, less than week and a half, is a lot. That's a lot of regular new content to put out.
Yeah, so we are going to officially go on a hiatus after this episode. Lives happen, we're getting busy, we're going through some transitional stuff, so we decided we were going to wrap up the bold type. We were very invested in continuing to debrief what happened, and we know that our listeners are also very invested in hearing what we have to say, which I cannot even tell you how grateful I am that somebody wants to hear what I have to say about something.
We just want to acknowledge that this is sad news for those of you who've been tuning in and there with us every week or week and a half. Thank you for listening and thank you for being there. We're really grateful and we hope you can understand we're not doing this as part of our jobs, you know?
We have actual full-time jobs
we're basically two Leslie fangirls of color who do this because we're passionate and we love talking about queer women of color representation. I think we could use a little bit of a break.
A nice break for now. We're not sure when or in what capacity we will return. We've discussed doing episodes less frequently. We're going to talk about it more and figure out what we want to do later on, but we just wanted to give all of our listeners some advance notice that we will be going on a break for a little bit.
In whatever capacity we do come back in the future, we hope you'll still be there to listen in. It's been amazing for me to share this experience with you, Amira. Like, you know, there's honestly no one else I would rather do this with than you.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
It's been a full year of like amazing fangirl excitement for me because of the fact that we get to share this together. We now have a year's worth of content capturing our friend dynamic. You know what it's like when we talk.
I know. It's permanent. It's on the internet.
It is.
Our friendship is on the record.
Our friendship and our fangirling and our analyses on the interwebs to share with all of you. So you've played a role in this too as our listeners, and we're very grateful. But we just wanted to let you know in advance, it might be a minute before we can come back again.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you continue to follow us on Twitter, at QWOCship, you will be the first to know when we do come back. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and give us a follow.
I'll still be on Twitter, and there will be other ways for us to interact outside of posting new
podcasts. We'd have to pry social media out of your cold, dead hands.
Yeah, absolutely.
And speaking of social media addicts, I think we should start talking about our last couple of episodes of The Bold Type, which were, may I say, riveting? I'm trying to think of one word to encapsulate, like, my feel, a roller coaster. I don't know.
So much. I do have to say that, like, when we go more than a week without recapping, we have way more content to cover. I think in the past when we've tried to recap every episode, we're recapping like one tiny piece of plot development. Whereas in like when we wait it out even for 2 weeks, it's like boom, there's just so much to cover.
I know. Even after episode 9, I was like, oh shit, know, like stuff is happening.
So much was happening. I know. And so even episode 9, I was like, whoa, that was so much more than I thought we were going to get. And then after watching episode 10, I was like, holy shit, we got even more than in episode 9. Like, what?
Yeah, and they really threw us for a loop, I think, in both episodes, to be honest, but especially episode 10.
Yeah.
So let's dive in. Episode 9, Final Push.
Yes.
So this is where we find out what happens in the city council election that Kat has been running for. This has been leading up to this all season. Mm-hmm. But we first start off with a scene, actually where we left off at the end of episode 8, mm-hmm. where Kadena is going for a walk in the park. And I love this because I thought that they were just going to cut to, you know, Kat debriefing Jane and Sutton on what happened in the walk. I didn't think we were actually going to get to see the walk.
I love it.
So excited.
Oh my God. I thought they were going to cheat us out of this scene. I was like, don't you dare do this to me, writers. How dare you? How dare you?
Yeah, because that's cheat the easy way scene. Out, right, for writers. Just to like kind of like recap, basically, for us, summarize what would have been said, but not actually write it out.
No.
So kudos to the writers for actually giving us this scene. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for doing that. So Adina, you know, she apologizes. She kind of repeats what she said to Jane before, which, you know, when you're watching something that's, like, repetitive like that, you're getting the same information. It can be like, oh, why are they just repeating it? But I appreciated that because Adina had told that to Jane before and probably assumed that Jane told Kat exactly what she said. But Adina still verbatim tells her what she told Jane, so that Kat, like, she and Kat are on the same page. And I'm just like, Adina coming through with the communication. Yes.
Yes, this is like, oh, this is why we fell in love with her. This is why we fell in love.
Yeah.
This is like grade A, season one, Adina Alameen. This is the Adina we fell in love with to begin with. I love that the first thing she does when she has, like, one-on-one time with Kat is apologize. Because she does owe Kat an apology. And it should not have come from Jane. It needed to come directly from Adina to Kat. And I'm, like, I'm really glad that they were sort of in the park. They had this sort of intimate moment where they both awkwardly said so at the same time. And right? And then, like, and Adina explains, like, waiting for my visa to come through was really tough. I wasn't making any money. I couldn't leave the country to see my family. I felt trapped and scared and confused. So, of course, I couldn't produce. And when you called me out in Paris, I was so in it that I couldn't see any of that. You didn't want to do things halfway. And I panicked and I ran. And she says, I'm really sorry, Kat. And then this is where I kind of was like, wow, like, this is how they open Kadena in the episode. And then the level of emotional maturity that comes next, where Kat says, it's not all on you. Like, boom, like, what? They're both so mature. And Kat owns up to making mistakes too. Like the whole open relationships thing. She didn't know what she was doing and she was sorry for that too. And watching them just sort of like navigate this in such a mature and thoughtful and reflective place was really inspiring for me. Like, you want, like, you would hope that two exes could see each other and talk, have a conversation like that, you know?
Yeah, but I feel like the only way that that happens is in this case where they clearly still have feelings for each other. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't a closure talk. Let's be real. We already know this isn't closure.
Yes,
this
yes.
is like, they're apologizing because they're pining for each other. I mean, Adina says, looking back, that there are things she would have done differently, and says specifically, I wouldn't have ran. And I think that, I mean, she's literally regretting leaving Kat. Like, that's what she's saying.
This is
that's
an
what
open
that
admission.
Means.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Adina invites Kat to hang out, but Kat says she's very busy with the election, which at this point is 48 hours away, but that they could hang out after, maybe.
I mean, that's...
So,
that's,
they're slowing it down as a result, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's fair. And, like, it's funny because as soon as Adina says, there are a lot of things I would have done differently, Kat's like, what? And and Adina responds, I wouldn't have ran. And you can see Kat's eyes change. Like, she feels like... It's hard for her to hear that because knowing all the pain that she went through after their breakup. And she kind of starts to avert her eyes and avoid a little bit of eye contact. But, like, I think Adina's invitation to come by the studio or just hang out, it'd be nice to see you. I feel like I don't know how innocent of an invitation that was. but, like, you know, she kind of left it open to Kat to decide. And like, Kat is busy, you know?
Yeah, and I think Kat, I mean... As I finished this episode, and then especially this week after watching episode 10, looking back on the scene, I think that Kat felt a small sense of guilt, maybe large sense, regarding Tia, because Tia doesn't know that she's going on this walk in the park with her ex. You know, she hasn't talked to her about it yet. And I really appreciate that Kat is, like, really trying to put in the effort to make this, like, fair for everyone. So I'm choosing to assume that that's, like, one of the – I mean, again, she is actually busy with the election. That's, like, a good enough reason to love.
Yeah.
But I do also think that there was a small to large part of her mind that was thinking about Tia and, like, okay, I really shouldn't move it this fast before I, like, figure out what I want and then, you know, get Tia in the loop on it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, later.
Growth.
Yeah, it is growth. I'm like, holy crap, Kat is so mature now.
I know.
And, like – I have to say, Kat in season 3 is so much sexier than in seasons 1 and 2 combined.
It's like, the hair. I don't know.
Oh, it is the hair, but
it's,
also
you know what?
Her level of emotional maturity, too.
Yes, yes, yes. No, absolutely. I mean, like, character development, like, whew, 100%. They did that. I mean, they did that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was talking to Kristen about it when we were watching the last episode, and she was like, you know why this hair works for her? Because she already has a naturally very round face, and her hair being, like, the long braids kind of, like, lengthens it out and makes, I mean, it just gives her, you know, because like with a round face, you can kind of have like that like young like baby face look a little bit. And so, yeah, I mean, she's cute either way, obviously, like Aisha Dee is like very attractive. But I think the long braids and like lengthening her face made her look like look more mature. You know what I mean? And then she was acting like it on top of that. And I want to say as a side note, Aisha Dee is like a fantastic facial actress. You know, like the point you were making before about the eyes, the very minute things. I mean, she really does it on point. So I've been like admiring her acting work through her eyes alone.
I have to say, what she does with her eyes and her blinking and her breath. Like, I'm, like, paying attention to that. She, like, every, like, what you get with the script is just lines, but she, like, pulls everything out that's not written, and she shows it on her face. Like, the way her eyes change. Like, when she's sad, or when she's hurting, or when she's, like, glowing. And like, all of this combined just, like, elevates her glow up, because she is... I'm thinking, if Kat was my ex and I was seeing her again after we'd broken up, I'd be, like, floored.
Right.
Now she's running for city council. Look at her in her gorgeous braids. I also think that having the braids is a visible sign that she's embraced her blackness, whereas before, it wasn't necessarily...
I mean, it was her natural hair, at least, race. Before. It wasn't relaxed. It was curly.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right about that. Thank you. But... Yeah. It wasn't memorable. It wasn't like, I don't know. Yeah. I feel like the braids say a lot. And I love that that she just like has gotten so hot. So
we could go on about that for hours.
I mean, this is a part of another point that I wanted to make, which is that like seeing how much Kat and Adina have both grown makes me a Kadena shipper in season 3, whereas in season 1 and 2, if you remember, I wasn't really on board 100% with Kadena.
I do remember. Yeah, you were in love with Adina, but Kat wasn't there for you. And then by the end of season 2, if I remember correctly, you were kind of disappointed in Adina as well. So now it's like they both had the glow up, and they both come back.
Yes.
It's all there. The pieces are all there. We just got to put them together.
Yes, yes. So the next scene that we get is a scene where Kat has been interacting with Tia, and Tia makes Kat feel a little overwhelmed with the election coming up right away. And Tia says, like, if you're insecure or you're second-guessing yourself, you can't let the public see that, right? And I think that's hard for Kat because she's so vulnerable and open on social media. So I think it's hard for her to keep her feelings inside.
Yeah, I mean, and so this scene is right after Jacqueline talked to Kat about finding her replacement, and you can see she's clearly shaken about that idea, like, that it's, like, becoming real, and she's kind of, like, looking around Scarlett, and, like, you can tell exactly what she's thinking. Again, Aisha Dee, like, facial expressions on point, right? She's thinking about, like, what's going to happen when she leaves, her life without Scarlett, et cetera, et cetera. And so she meets with Tia after this, and, like, I know Tia's doing her job, and, like, she's got to, like, keep her on task before the election, but, like, I feel like she was a little bit annoying. Like, I mean, Tia's her campaign manager. She's also, you know, not her girlfriend, I guess, but, like, they have an intimate relationship, and at the very least, they have a friendship. So I feel like if you're all business, strictly campaign manager relationship the whole time, that's fine. That's the talk you give her. But, like, if you're friends or more... I think you gotta, like, kind of dive deep and at least ask, like, what's going on, you know? I mean, I don't know. Tia was just a little too businessy for me.
Yeah, I think, no, you're absolutely right about that. What Kat needed in that moment was a friend, and Tia can't be that because she's the campaign manager.
But luckily, Kat has two of her best friends working at the company, so...
And apparently she also has Adina as a friend, too. So.
Right? Yeah, yeah. God, Kat has so many resources.
Like, right? So, like, Kat feeling totally overwhelmed. She shows up at Adina's door. And when Adina opens the door, it just, like, it reminded me again of the night they first kissed, where Kat shows up at Adina's door and Adina opens it. We're getting a lot of these, like, sort of mirroring scenes.
It's very intentional. I'm sure.
Oh my god, absolutely. And Kat comes in, and like, again, they're just friends.
Can I just pause? Like, Adina dresses like this while she's just home alone. Like,
I know, right?
I mean, what I think what happened is, what we didn't see on camera is that Kat, of course, I don't think she just showed up. I think she probably texted her. I don't know. Did it seem like she just showed up out of the blue?
It always seems like characters show up out of the blue. When
I'm like, who does this? You just go someone's house. Okay, maybe she just showed up out of the blue, which is even more just bizarre that Adina is like in like stilettos and like, I don't know. I mean, of course she looks amazing. I'm not complaining, but like literally what person dresses like this when they're just in the house by themselves?
But like Adina was wearing these like half denim, half leather pants. It was a light wash denim in the back, and then the leather, it's like high-waisted skinny jeans, like, but leather on the front, and this was like a hard femme look. Oh my god, like,
you know what,
seeing her in those pants,
you know what, if you went on like America's Got Talent or something like this, what your talent would be is somebody would name a femme character that you have a crush on, and like any season or episode, and you could name their exact outfits off the top, or like from memory. And you know what? That is talent. That is a real talent.
Thank you. Thank you. But I think it's mostly Adina.
Kate Blanchett, too. Come on.
Okay, fine.
It doesn't matter with Adina.
Fine. You got me. But like Adina, she's just wearing these like pants with like boots too, or the heels, but they're like platform. And like she's like strutting around in this like fancy loft apartment in this look. And I don't know if you noticed, but we've been getting some really great ass shots of Adina as well. Where she turns around to boil water for Kat's tea. And I'm just like, oh my god, look at her ass.
I know, I'm like, is Kat looking? How is Kat not looking? Like, I'm
Kat's
always
looking.
Like, yeah.
She's totally looking.
She's gotta be checking her out. I mean, come on. But yeah, I love, so Kat asks for Adina's help, and she says, as a friend who's really good at helping me see things clearly. And that just, like, really touched my little gay heart. I mean...
Oh, my God, right?
I was like, oh, that is so precious that she would say that to Adina. And, like, Adina's face, like, her reaction when Kat says that, she's also touched in her little gay heart.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, but it is really beautiful that, like, even though they're not together and it's complicated and Kat says that they don't really have the time to unpack their breakup or whatever, the fact that Kat knows she can go to Adina for advice and get it and like get really honest inspirational advice from someone who knows her well is really beautiful. And then of course once Kat unloads and says like that she needs all this help seeing things clearly the night before the election, again the night right before the election, and who does she turn to for emotional support but her ex Adina, right? And Adina says, come, I want to show you something. And I don't know how to do her accent.
The tone of voice was similar. She's got like, a little bit of a deep
voice. I want
voice,
to show you something. And then she like takes Kat into this room. And Kat's like, what's going on? And we see the back of Adina and her gorgeous ass as she like leans over to Kat. This photo print that's been blown up. And what is it but a portrait of Kat looking into the distance, wearing rounded glasses and her hair up in a wrap. And it is a gorgeous photo. And Kat's sort of taken aback, and so are we. But I do have to say and give credit to Twitter user RMP65821891 for making this exact prediction. Not like exact, but basically
pretty damn close.
Yeah, it was pretty close. So, like, this person's prediction, which she tweeted at us, was Kat loses the election, breaks up with Tita, goes to Adina's gallery, and the theme is, quote, my muse, and all of the photos are of Kat, who is Adina's muse. So, but, like, not exactly the same, but enough of that is right. It's, like, 3 out of 4 things were correct. And, Kat was Adina's muse, but she didn't realize until after the fact. And Adina says that, like, well, Kat asks, like, where did you get this photo? She's like, oh, it's still on the roll of film from Paris. I didn't have the heart to develop it for a long time. But when I saw the picture, it clicked. You did inspire me, Kat. And then these next few words just like, oh my God, destroyed all of us. You did inspire me, Kat, with your grace, your fire, your spirit. And the camera pans over to Kat's eyes, and she is like, gleaming with feelings to, like,
yeah.
hear this from not just your ex, but from a woman you truly admire. To have this woman you truly admire state openly how she admires you too. Wow, what a beautiful exchange.
Oh my god. Could you imagine, like, Adina Elamine just spitting this fire prose at you? Like,
oh my god.
God, you'd be, like, literally, not figuratively, literally swept off your feet with, like, right? the force of those words, the beauty. Right. I mean,
Jesus Christ.
How she strings it together, it's amazing. Yeah. Anyway.
Everything about Adina Elamine is poetry. Like, everything she does, the way that she looks, the way that she presents herself, and the way that she speaks is just plain poetry. And Kat's eyes show it. She's like, oh my god, all the feelings. And then Adina says the right thing, which is that only you can decide. But the Kat Edison I know, she is all about growth. And since we've been apart, you have continued to grow. You kept using your voice to fight for the things you care about. And that's when Kat realizes, yeah, I don't want to run from this. And when she says, yeah, I don't want to run from this, I was like, yes, you're talking about the election, but are you also low-key talking about Kadena? Because the chemistry in that scene was palpable. Holy crap.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, like, yeah, I don't want to run from this. And Kat decides she's like, all in for this election, and Adina has inspired her. And that's exactly the moment when you can hear the tea kettle in the background, like, start to whistle. And I'm like,
they had, like, a hashtag moment before then.
It was,
like,
a moment.
Looking at each other's eyes.
Yeah. It was hotter than that boiling water. It was just like, I feel like some kind of steam had to get let out from all that chemistry, and it came from the tea kettle.
Right? Yeah, very metaphorical.
Oh my god, yeah. And so, like, the tea whistles, and then Kat, like, I don't think she knows what to do with all this, because she just got all that poetry from Adina, and she's like, I gotta exit. I'm feeling all the feelings right now.
yeah. So she invites Adina to the election party, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you want to just skip ahead to the election party, because I think she has one more scene with Tia before that. Yeah. But anyway, so she spills the tea, the Tia tea, to the Tia and Adina tea, actually, to Jane and Sutton at the election party. At this point, the polls have closed. They're waiting for results. It's like really tense, and you can tell Kat is going through so many emotions, because she's like, I don't even know if I want this job. I'm nervous that I'm going to lose. I'm nervous that I'm going to win. And Tia is, like, still really acting like she's doing her job first and being, like, a, I would say, quote-unquote girlfriend second, since they are not officially girlfriends. But, and then Tia comes up to Kat and says, it'll be nice when this is over. We can figure this out, and holds her hand. Mm-hmm. And it's like, ooh, it is very cringy. I was not feeling that. That moment, I was like, oh my god, I feel so bad for Tia.
Wait, why were you not feeling that moment?
I feel bad for Tia, because all this stuff has been going on with Adina and building up, and she has no idea, and she's still, like, you know, in dreamland with Kat. Yeah. And then, like, right then Adina shows up.
Yeah.
And Kat's like, oh my god. I mean, this little baby gay has gotten herself into, like, the stereotypical dyke moment, right?
Oh, absolutely. Like,
ridiculous.
I know. And, I mean, Kat does concede, like, Tia's amazing. I'm here because of her. But I'm also here because of Adina. And so I do think that Kat is trying to give credit to both women for helping her be the best version of herself. Like, they've both helped facilitate her glow up. And I mean, Tia's right. They do make a good team as when they're campaigning. But, like, what happens when you pull out the campaign element, right? Like, is that chemistry still there? I don't know. And, like, Tia, the poor baby gay, she's thinking, this is a big step. I'm going to hold Kat's hand in public. And, like, I'm like,
yeah, I know.
Like, and Adina walks in, and, like, Kat looks over and sees Adina. And also at this election night party, like, after Tia runs off somewhere, Kat walks over to Adina and Oliver and starts chatting. And then you see Tia in the background, and Tia sees Kat talking to Adina. And so, like, Tia is, she's not dumb, right? She sees what's going on. And she sees that basically Kat has invited her ex to the election party. And she's like, okay, things are about to get messy.
So the episode closes with Kat losing the election by a very, very small margin. And then it just ends. It just ends right there. And I was like, I was hoping for like a little bit more, but I guess I should have, I mean, that's kind of the style of the show. You know what I mean? Like you just end on that kind of note where it's like, oh.
So episode 10, Breaking Through the Noise.
We pick up right where episode 9 ended, right on Kat's face post-election decision. And Kat's feeling super overwhelmed. And she looks around, and I feel like she's looking around for Adina. I don't know if I was reading into that too much. It's shitty to lose. It sucks.
Yeah.
But now she gets to stay at Scarlet, so we're all a little bit relieved.
I know. I was, like, low-key kind of, like, happy. Because I was going to feel so bad if she won the election had to, like, come to terms with, like, not accepting the win or something like that. I was like, you know, I feel like this is a little bit of like an easy out for her, even though, I mean, I get it. Like it's, she worked so hard and everybody was there for her and it's like even embarrassing or, you know, of course, like these are feelings that I would, if I were Kat's friend, I'd be like, you should not feel that way. But if it were me in Kat's place, I would feel that way. So like, I get it.
I mean, the next day Tia comes over to like find Kat at Scarlet, and Tia's like, listen, most first-time candidates lose, and you came within the margin of error. That's great. Yes, Tia, Kat should be proud of herself, and I think Tia's trying to be supportive and help Kat through this. And then we have an exchange between Tia and Kat, and it was what we got in the preview for episode 10, too. I do have to say, like, you watched the preview for episode 10, right?
Duh.
Like, in the preview, we saw, like, Kat and Adina in bed together. I was like, oh, what's going to happen? And I totally thought,
I know.
We all thought Kat was going to cheat on Tia. But then this exchange is basically the out, right? Like, the writers crafted it in such a way that Kat would not be cheating on Tia because they are not yet in a relationship. And they clarified this.
I mean, which I appreciated, but, like, it seemed just a little forced. I mean, remember at the end of the last episode, Tia seemed pretty jealous when Kat went over to talk to Adina, and now suddenly, I mean, like, I am very happy to see that she was, like, okay with it. I think that this was, like, a very mature way to handle it. I'm not criticizing it at all. I just wonder if it's, like, 100% in character or, like, makes sense with what we literally just saw from Tia regarding Adina. Even that exchange they had, what was it, episode 7 or, no, episode 8, I think, when Tia was, like, well, is she a voter in our district?
I don't want to talk about it.
You know, then I don't want to talk about her anymore. So I was like, all right. You know, I mean, she was still staying, like, smiley and nice and happy about it, but you could tell it was like, I don't really want to talk about this.
Tia is nothing if not strategic, okay? We ought to give Tia some credit here because Tia talks about how she was like what did she use the phrase? Cyber-stalking Adina? And, like, feeling really insecure about the fact that she's not, quote-unquote, out and proud in the way that Adina is. And so, like, I think Tia is trying to play it out. I think she's, like, strategizing just like she does on the campaign trail in her personal life. Tia says, now we have a chance to see what this is, what we are outside the campaign. And Kat says, hey, I'm super excited to spend more time with you. I just feel like I should let you know, things with Adina are a little more complicated than I thought. And Tia just acknowledges, yeah, I figured when I saw her at the party. And Kat concedes that as much as she tried to deny it, there may be some feeling still there. And Tia says this, and I have to give her a little bit of applause for this line. I get you two have a past. I just really think we have a future. But if you need to figure things out with Adina, it's fine. And Kat says, are you sure? And Tia responds, yeah, we're taking it slow anyways. So Tia is A, super sweet, and B, kind of persuasive.
That was smooth.
That was a very strategic thing that she did. If she tries to, like, put a leash on Kat, she's definitely going to lose Kat, right?
Right.
But if she lets Kat sort of think, oh, you and Adina are the past, you and me are the future. That was a campaign move just there.
I was gonna say, that was straight out of the campaign handbook. I mean, really, like, I think that she was kind of thinking along those lines. I'm giving her credit here. I know that she was being, like, good about it, but it almost seemed like she was hoping that Kat would just get closure with Adina and then come back to Tia. I think deep down that's what she was hoping it was going to be, so she was like, okay, let me just be cool about this. That's not what happens.
No. At least not right away. It's not what happens. Kat's like, are you sure? Because I really want to have sex with my ex.
Yeah.
But, oh like, Tia is very intelligent, and she's very capable. Mm-hmm. And I think she plays this the right way. So even though she's probably feeling extremely insecure and low-key jealous, I think this was her best move.
Yeah.
So I have to give her credit there, you know?
But anyway, the next scene. Adina texts Kat, been thinking of you. Anything I can do to help? And then cuts immediately to sex. Oh, yes. This was amazing. This was like an out-of-body experience.
Oh, my God.
Adina's back muscles. I have that in my notes because I wanted to ask you about that.
Oh, my God. Like, okay. I love when, as soon as I saw the text that said, anything I can do, and I'm like, of course there's something you can do.
There's someone you can
do, Adina. Yes, yes. I'm like, obvi, please. And then we hear this, like, super sexy music playing, mm-hmm. and Kat, you can see Kat sitting in her at her desk in her chair, and she's like, the wheels are turning in her mind. What should she say in response to Adina's offer to do practically anything for her? Oh my God. Oh my God. X sex. That's what I got in all caps. X sex.
Yeah.
Is there anything then, I can do, please?
Can I just read you my notes? Because I'm like cracking up reading it back now. In all caps, they have sex, in parentheses, Adina's back muscles.
Oh my God.
A note to myself to ask you. And then I wrote, they stop so Adina can ask about her relationship. Next bullet, Adina eats her out.
Oh my God. Okay. So this is what I have in my notes.
Yeah, please.
Like, they're like taking all their clothes off. And then once Kat is pushed up against the kitchen island, Kat starts to like interrupt and says, I'm still seeing. And Adina clarifies, seeing or in a relationship? And Kat says, well, seeing. And then Adina shushes her. She's like, shh. Adina shushed Kat.
Oh my God. Power move.
Adina got all the information she needed to know, which is that Kat is not in a monogamous or exclusive relationship with Tia. Mm-hmm. And so the single word response, seeing, and Adina's a shh, shh. Yes, I would love to be shushed by Adina. I really would.
Right?
Like, shush me and then, like, go down on me. Like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like this was good for Kat because she probably missed being a bottom, you know? Like, she's been, like,
God, you're right.
Exploring and, like, now hooking up with Tia. And I think, like, after this, she was like, oh, yeah, this is much better.
Yeah, because she didn't text Tia asking for sex. She texted Adina. Like, Adina was just offering.
Well, Adina texted her, to be fair, yeah. Yes. But no, Kat went straight over. Yeah, oh, no, my God. She didn't want sex with Tia. That... Come on. I mean, how satisfying could that be? I don't know.
Right.
I'm just
You're totally right, though, because Tia's lack of experience would, like, definitely translate in the bedroom, like, if she doesn't have as much sexual experience. Yeah. So it makes sense. And, like, and they do have this moment where Adina says, I missed you, and Kat says, I missed you, too. And then I have it next in my notes, and then the panties drop! And I'm like...
Yep.
And I have it all caps and bold. Wow, 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 wow. Also, Adina has tattoos on her thighs.
I saw those. It looks like lines of text.
I know, but are those Nicole's tattoos or Adina's? We don't know.
I think they're Nicole Boucheri's tattoos, if I'm being honest. Because I don't think they would put tattoos on her to be, like, part of Adina's character not, like, highlight them more.
Yes.
Probably were like, we're not going to bother covering this up with makeup.
Yeah. I mean, I love that Adina says, I missed you, pulls her panties down, and then eats her out. I'm like,
yeah.
What? See, Adina came here to serve.
Technically, Kat is the snack being served, but, you know.
Anything I can do? Oh, my God. I can't with that text. Anything I can do? Sorry.
The actor who plays Oliver tweeted a screenshot of that. Like, a screenshot of Kat's phone. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
With those two texts, and he was just, like, not ready for it. It's just great. I love how much the cast tweets about these shows when they're on. If you haven't seen, if you don't follow any of them on Twitter, which, like, you know, if you're watching the episodes after they air, or not on East Coast time, it is very dangerous to follow them on Twitter because you will see spoilers. But
yes,
I highly encourage you, if you haven't seen it already, to like go back through any of the actors, probably, you know, your favorites, just to see what they were tweeting during the episodes, because it's just, it's hilarious. They really, they love the show and they love interacting with the fans. And that's what, I just feel like it makes it more accessible. Like, it just, it's refreshing. I really enjoy that.
Adina as a generous top is just like...
Right. Yeah. Very generous. Very generous. Anyway, so the next scene, we see Sutton using her, like, sixth sense yet again to immediately know that Kat had sex when she shows up to the shoot and she's like, who is it? Tierra or Dina?
Oh, my God. I love that moment. Like, yes, Sutton. I know. Sutton is always on Team Kat getting laid as much as possible.
Yeah, yeah. She's, you know, she supports her friends having sex, and I think that's really important. Mm-hmm. To have that friend.
Yeah.
Especially with women. You know what I mean? Like, because sometimes we're bogged down by, like, our own internalized stigmas. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really great to have, like, a friend who's like, yeah, like, who cares? Be a hoe. Do it.
Do it. Yes. Yeah. I mean, you're that friend for me, I have to say.
Thank you. I try. I try to be, you know, because I had a friend like that for me. So I'm like, you know what? I should, like, pass this on. Pay it forward.
Thank you.
And help other women reach sexual satisfaction. So we get not one... but two, technically, sort of, sex scenes of Kadena. Mm-hmm. So the second one isn't a sex scene. It's a post-coital scene.
Which we need.
But they're naked in bed.
Yeah, they're naked in bed.
This is, I mean, come on. This is something. I was floored when I saw this because I was like, God. I thought it was going to cut to, like, after the sex, cut to them in bed. Because we saw that clip of them in bed
exactly.
in the trailer.
Exactly.
I thought it was going to be part of the same thing. But no, it wasn't. It was a separate event.
Yeah. Which means that Kadena had sex twice in the same episode.
That we know of.
That we know of. Like, she could have gone about three or four times. We don't know.
Yeah, they can't get enough of each other.
I know. And, like, they're, like, spooning naked. And Adina says...
she feels like she's missed stuff in Kat's life, and she doesn't want to miss any more. And she says, I never stopped loving you, Kat.
Yes.
And then she says, I don't want to pressure you. I know you're still seeing Tia. I just don't want to do this halfway.
Oh,
and
God.
I was like, again, with the prose, Adina, my God. Like,
poetry. Straight up poetry.
If she lived in another era, she would be like a famous lesbian poet. You know what I mean? Oh, she would be like the Sappho of whatever era she was in. Like, she's a Sappho of our era, I guess. But, you know, she's like, not a real person. So,
right? Like, the most romantic thing you could possibly say, like, making Kat's heart swell, making all of our hearts swell, to say, for her to say, I never stopped loving you. Jesus.
God.
For an ex to say that to you, like, what? Who's clearly not over you, wants to get back together with you, and wants to do it all the way and not halfway, which is what you were asking for in Paris. You told her you didn't want to do things halfway, and now the roles, like, tables have turned. Adina doesn't want to do it halfway. Her words have such incredible emotional power.
I know. Next, of course, Kat is like, oh, shit, I got to work this stuff out with Tia.
Yep.
So they... they go for a walk, and this is when Tia says she's been cyber-stalking Adina. And she says, you know, I know I'm never going to have, like, proud lesbian in my bio, but I've been working on, like, she says she's been working on it. She's trying to come to terms with her sexuality. And she, like, I don't know what it was about her dialogue that it was just, she was trying to, like, pitch herself. You know what I mean? It was almost like a sales meet, or, like, you know, she's the candidate, and she's trying to, like, give a pitch.
Yes.
Like, it wasn't a bad pitch, but it was like, yeah, it was like, wow, Tia, you're really like a one-track mind, huh? Like,
yeah.
And then they kiss, and I was like, Kat, girl, you, why are you still confused? You just slept with Adina twice, and Tia gives you some, like, sort of okay pitch for herself, and then you're like, I don't know. I wasn't seeing the tug between them, honestly, because I just felt like Adina was so obviously superior, and of course I'm biased. But, like, when she kissed Tia, I was like, oh, really? Like, this is still a struggle for you to choose?
Yeah, it's because Tia's, like, still not completely out. And so this was a concession. Like, hey, I will kiss you in public on this park bench.
Yeah, that's true. It was a meaningful kiss.
I know I'm not out, but I'm working on it. And here, I'm going to look both ways and then give you a kiss.
It reminds me of something from Gentleman Jack, you know, when they, like, look both ways before showing affection.
That show is the best show on TV right now. The finale had me sobbing tears of joy.
Yeah, yeah. Go watch Gentleman Jack if you haven't already. Small sidebar. Consider this an advertisement since we never put ads in our podcast.
But honestly, Gentleman Jack is the best show on television right now.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Anyway, okay. But yeah, it just reminded me of, I mean, consider like, you know, a lesbian in 1830 trying to kiss her girlfriend. That's how Tia does it. Like when she looked like Liz, I was like, oh my God, come on.
I mean, it's been so long since I was in the closet that I don't remember what that's like. But for Kat to be dating somebody who's so freshly out, mm-hmm. when Kat never really struggled with her sexuality, like when she realized she was into Adina, she was like kissing her on the sidewalk outside Adina's apartment. You know, it yeah. wasn't like yeah. she was afraid of who she was. It wasn't like there was any sort of like self-loathing. But like Tia is still working through all of that. And so as a candidate, it's hard for her to make a pitch when she lacks the experience that Kat mm-hmm. is looking for in a candidate. I mean, Adina's the incumbent here.
Right, like, right. right. This is a great analogy. I love this.
Yeah, I mean, but that's also Tia as a character. She's trying to make this pitch, and it's just not working. And so they share this very, like, you know, chaste kiss on a park bench, but we're like, mm-hmm. nice try, you yeah. know?
That's cute, but... Okay, when Kat meets up with Jane and Sutton to talk about this, and she's like... She says she doesn't know how to decide between them because they are, quote, two of the most incredible people I've ever met. I literally put LMAO in my notes because I'm like, come on. You're comparing Tia to Adina as yeah. one of the most incredible people you've ever met? This is a stretch. I feel like this is a real reach, even for the writers.
The issue here is that Kat is evaluating Tia based on her professional accomplishments, like her ability to run campaigns. If you evaluate her just on her personal behavior, the gaslighting is unforgivable. Like, in my book, yeah. if somebody did that to my friend, I would consider that to be so unacceptable.
Well, the gaslighting and even the campaigning at a friend's dinner that she was invited to, mm-hmm. I mean, like... It really does seem like she's like a one-trick pony. Like all she knows how to do is campaign, and she doesn't have like she can't have like a normal conversation without using her campaigning skills.
But like you can't even put Adina and Tia in the same boat because the difference between them is that Adina apologized when she fucked up. Adina fucked up in Paris. She took some time to reflect, came back and apologized as soon as she had one-on-one time in person with Kat.
Yeah.
Tia gaslit Kat and then unloaded her queer feelings onto her instead of apologizing for that. And, like, Kat had to be there for Tia as she was processing her queer feelings. Kat was obviously going through her own feelings about her race, but Tia didn't mm-hmm. exactly help her through that. Tia was sort of like, whatever, go post this video of this racist white lady if you want and, like, sabotage your own campaign. But, like, Tia never helped Kat yeah. through that emotionally, whereas Adina like takes Kat's hand and walks her through things emotionally, which is exactly what happened during that one kitchen scene. I think exactly. in terms of like yeah. emotional labor, Tia has not really done that much for Kat.
Yeah, she's a little like selfish, right? Yes. Like her nature is kind of just thinking about her and her own problems and her goals too. You know, I mean, with the campaign with Kat, I feel like she was so oblivious to the idea that Kat maybe didn't want to do this after all. You know, Adina, of course, doesn't have, like, as much at stake, if that were to be the case.
Yeah.
But she immediately was going to drop everything and be there for Kat. Yeah. I just feel like, yeah. I mean, I'm like, I don't know what Adina's schedule was when she was in New York, but I felt like she was always available whenever yeah. Kat needed her.
Yeah. It's like when Kat was expressing her insecurities right before the election, and Tia said, shut this down. We need to stay focused. And whereas when Kat showed up at Adina's door the night before, like Kat didn't even have to say very much. Adina was like, what's going on? You know? Like, she was
yeah, yeah.
asking and checking in. When Kat says, like, oh, they're both amazing women, like, yes, they're both amazing and accomplished women who are very good at what they do. Adina's a very accomplished photographer and artist, and Tia is very good at running campaigns. But, like, as a person, as a significant other, as, like, mm-hmm, a queer mm-hmm. person, I don't know that you yeah. could even say all those things about Tia at all.
No, she's too fresh. I agree. I mean, it seems like Kat comes to more or less the same conclusion, at least regarding Tia. And she meets up with her, and she says, she, like, talks her up a bit. She says, I'm in complete awe of you, and, like, you know, all this stuff, apparently, about how incredible she thinks Tia is. And then she drops the bomb and says... She says, I want to stay on this journey with you, but I don't think I can do that as your girlfriend. I need to do that as your friend.
Mm.
It was a very, like, kind and soft way to, like, end something. I mean, remember, yes. This wasn't an official relationship. They're just, you know, she can't, like, ghost her, obviously. Like, yes, they were legit seeing each other, and she knows Tia is, like, very invested and wants it to be a real relationship. And so I thought that that was, like, a really well-done breakup. And, of course, Tia takes it well. And, again, I feel like this was more out of convenience for the writers to just have Tia, like, be cool with everything. Like, with her wanting to figure things out with Adina, with her breaking things off. Like,
the camera kind of cuts away, though. We don't get to see very much of Tia's response at all. And I kind of wish we had. Because what Kat did in that moment, which was, again, another sign of her emotional maturity... Tia doesn't have queer friends. She doesn't have a queer community. She doesn't have another black queer woman to confide in. And Kat is basically saying to Tia, we can't date, but I'm still going to be there for you as your friend. Because Tia needs her. Tia needs her to help her process her feelings as a queer woman who's newly out. And so Kat is extending this offer to Tia. I wish we had seen more of Tia's reaction to that and how she responded, because she did get a very compassionate breaking up conversation. It was brief, but Kat didn't waste very much time. She cut right to it, and she said it in a very loving way.
Well done, Kat. Man, I'm like over the moon with her, really, this season, like how much she's grown. And then the next scene, even more so. So this next scene, when she goes to Adina, several bombs were dropped. I mean, from here actually to the end of the episode.
Oh my
I was
God.
Like,
boom, boom,
really?
Boom, boom, boom.
I'm like barely recovering from one thing, and then another bomb gets dropped, and then I'm like picking myself up, and then another. I mean, I can't even tell you. Aphrodite, I was like, what the hell is going on? I thought, naive little me, stupidly thought, she's going to go to Adina. They're going to get back together. Mm-hmm. They're going to tie this up with a little pretty bow on top, and we're all going to be happily ever after. No, no. The bold type just loves to stir the pot.
Oh my God, do they?
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, so she goes to Adina's. She says, I've been thinking about what you said about giving us a real thought, but Kat is not ready to jump back into a relationship, and says, right now, I'm choosing me. Wow. And I was like, oh, like clutching my heart. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I was like, okay, okay, okay. Where do I even start? Kat, great job thinking about yourself, choosing yourself, but... what?
Yep.
Like, you know, it's just, I kept going back and forth of like, okay, okay, cool. You're focusing on yourself. That's fine. Like, important for growth. You're still young, whatever. But come on. Like, Adina is there. She's ready. She's waiting. Her eyes. Look at Adina. How do you look at her in those eyes and tell her that?
Adina looks so good. Like, this whole episode, I was just like, Adina looks good with or without clothes on.
Yes.
How do you resist this? She's bearing her soul in front of you. Her heart is laid out open for you. She's in love with you. She never stopped loving you. She would do, quote unquote, anything for you. Ready? She's like ready to set up shop in U-Haul with you. And you're going to turn this down? Are you for real?
She says she doesn't want to do it halfway.
Oh, which is exactly what you wanted from her.
Yes, yes, yes.
It just took her a season too long. It took her one season too long, but...
yeah, basically. Basically.
Adina, like, some confusion is registering on her face, just like all of ours. Like, what the hell, Kat?
Right. Yeah.
And that's when she says, you know, when she said she was thinking about Kat, she was looking at apartments in New York. And on top of that, she figured when Scarlett called, Kat had something to do with it. And Kat's like, what do you mean Scarlett called?
What?
Excuse me? And Adina has been hired. She's been, like, she accepted an offer to become the new in-house photographer for Scarlett, now that Scarlett is moving in this new and more inclusive direction.
Oh my God. I mean, first of all, both of these girls can get it, right? Kat, like, choosing to focus on herself. Adina, getting a new stable job as a Scarlett in-house photographer. Yes. Fantastic for them individually, as individuals.
Yes.
But what about them together?
Right?
I mean, for sure, next season, which there will be one, there's going to be all this tension, right? They're going to be working together.
Yeah.
At Scarlett. So I'm I'm hoping that that's, you know, it's still kind of going in that direction. Mm-hmm. But then, yet another bomb is dropped. Our trio of friends goes into work and finds movers taking everything out. And they ask where Jacqueline is, and Andrew says, I don't know. What is happening at Scarlet? I mean, this is after, of course, you know, we didn't cover the storyline, but Jacqueline made this huge move of changing Scarlet's direction, like you were just saying, Aphrodite. And so it's like, was she fired? Was the place sold? Are they just moving to a new building and this is all build up for nothing? Like, what is going on? Everyone's confused. Everyone's scared. Are Kat and Adina going to work together after all? I don't know. Are they even going to have jobs? I mean,
we don't know.
I am stressed. And we have to wait a whole year for the show to come back.
I'm like, are they getting rid of the magazine? Is it digital only? What's going on?
But then, like, shouldn't they still have a building?
Right? I'm just so confused by all this. Yes, we don't know what the hell is happening, but wow, what a cliffhanger. And this is in contrast with the end of season two, where we were just like, meh. This was a season finale. This is a way to end a season. Edge of Our Seats, what the hell's going to happen in season four? Is Nicole Boucher going to be a series regular in season four? Because if Adina's working at Scarlet, assuming Scarlet still exists, that means we would see her in virtually every episode? Like, what does that mean?
Oh my God. If she becomes a series regular, like literally in every episode, I'm going to be over the moon. I mean, What a blessing that is.
Jesus Christ. Oh my God. I would not be able to keep it together if she came on as a series regular.
You're going to have a lot of outfits to memorize.
But we should also say that technically she was a series regular in season two and we didn't get enough of her.
That's true. She was billed as a season regular, but I guess what I mean is like in the more colloquial term of, you know, actually being on every episode or nearly every episode. You know, like Oliver and Alex and Jacqueline and stuff like that.
Now we have to reflect back on the whole season because I think people were really nervous and scared about Nicole's absence in much of the season. But like, bam, in the last three episodes of the season, that is a ton of Kadena. And I think season three in the last few episodes made me feel like it was season one again. They really pushed it through at the end.
For Charmed, we did the same thing comparing sort of the love stories of the three sisters. And if you compare the love stories of the three friends over this season, the other two, Jane and Sutton, are pretty stagnant. You know, it's just like whatever the ups and downs with their constant boyfriends. They're not really getting a lot of like important, I would say, storylines. I mean, besides Jane with her like egg freezing thing. And, you know, Sutton and Richard, like they have their moments. Like they'll have like a little tiff and then they make up and they learn and become better off for it. But Kat was getting like the drama. She got a love triangle. I mean, I feel like that's kind of big when you think about it, that she was the only one. She ended the last season with a breakup, and instead of putting her love story on hold, they gave her even more. I was really happy with that.
Yeah, she did so much growing in this season, I think more so than either of the other two girls, in terms of like watching her play the role of like, I don't want to say like a mentor to Tia, but to like be that sort of like queer presence for someone else who's new. Guide, whereas like Adina was that for her, and now I feel like Kat and Adina are actually each other's equals. Which is what they needed to do. They needed to, like, build up and give us time for us to view them both as equals who are now mature enough to actually be with each other, even though now Kat is so mature, she's choosing herself. What? So I'm really pleased with this, and it makes me be a lot more forgiving towards the season two stupidity, shenanigans, whatever, where I was like, this doesn't seem like Adina at all. What the hell? We were blindsided by that last minute breakup. And then we came back to season three without an explanation for the breakup. So I feel like they did try to like fix things in the last three episodes of the season with the return of Kadena. And they did give us a black queer ship on the show as well. Even though for lots of reasons, Kat and Tia just don't belong together. I'm sure there are some fans who were eager to see them end up together because, like, black queer love.
Right.
Tia just had so much to learn. And I would be thrilled for Tia to be in season four as a friend.
I love Adina, but I'm all for, you know, more queer rep, more queer storylines. So I would love for, like you said, if Tia stayed on as a friend and we got to see in some capacity Kat's queer friend group. And, you know, that would be a cool way to, like, organically see, like, the formation of it, right? But it was like... Yeah. At the beginning of this season, she was apparently going to queer bars, or that one queer bar, all the time. So I'm like, where are your friends, Kat? Are you just going to this bar by yourself every
day? And she was taking Alex. She was taking Alex to the lesbian bar. Yeah, for God's sake.
But still, I mean, I just feel like I would love to see that side of queerness that we so, so rarely see in TV and film, which is like the queer friend group. You know what I mean? Like queer people, as often as they can, I'm not saying it's literally all of them, but we like to have queer friends and queer people around us. And so we usually, sometimes we'll have like a specifically like all queer group. Sometimes it's a mixed group. Sometimes we just have like a few queer friends that we stay in touch with, whatever. But like we need that connection with people, that like platonic queer connection. Absolutely. So I really would love to see that shown on The Bold Type. I would love to see it shown everywhere, but you know. Because I'm like, I don't really want them to keep throwing love interests at her because I really want Adina to stick, if I'm being honest.
Kadena's endgame, I don't know how many more seasons they have of The Bold Type left, but they would be stupid to not have Nicole come back as a series regular in season four.
Yeah.
Like, they just have to make that happen. And I think that season four, they definitely, the ship will be reunited. They're gonna be together. It's just gonna, it has to happen.
Yeah.
They're just postponing the inevitable and giving us a little bit more pain as viewers. But one thing we finally got was lesbian fucking. A straight up hookup. No lovemaking, no like silhouette and shit.
It was carnal.
It was carnal. I was like, I need you and I need you to go down on me like right now. Like, and then the panty drop, right? Because I feel like we get that a lot with the het ships. I mean, we have gotten some sort of like hookup scenes between Kat and other women.
Right. But it wasn't the same chemistry.
Not on the level of Kadena, and they both like miss each other, but also like Kat came to Adina to get a need met.
Yeah. That was like low-key a booty call, right? Like,
oh my god, that was high-key a booty call. Yeah. It was a daytime during normal working hours booty call.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Day sex. Day X sex. Great.
Wow. Day X sex. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I know. I mean, that's pretty damn hot. So they definitely delivered on the season. As a whole, I loved season three more than season two.
Same. Even though we didn't talk about them, I also enjoyed the other storyline, the non-queer storylines this season. I thought they had some really powerful episodes. I am really excited to see where they go with next season, especially with this crazy cliffhanger. Like, I literally, we have no idea if Scarlet is still even going to be a thing.
Oh my god, I'm when this terrified. Season comes back. Where's Jacqueline? So, we need to know. Thankfully, you know, Kat didn't win the election, so she can stay at Scarlet. And we don't have to worry about what happens when the girls are apart, because they tried that with Jane. Didn't work out. Jane had to come back. They have to stay at Scarlet together.
Otherwise, the show doesn't work.
Right? I mean, we started off this podcast with season two of The Bold Type. And, I mean, it's been a full year. It's been a full year of podcast love. It's been a full year of Kadena love. And we've obviously brought in other shows. But I think The Bold Type is where this all started. Like, I'm just going to take a moment to reflect on how I've grown in the past year.
Sure.
I think, like, the process of doing this with you has been really great, because it, like, forces me to, like, read the text more carefully. I think my analysis has improved over the course of this podcast. A lot of the times we see things eye to eye, but the moments when we've disagreed, I've liked that too. I'm like, I need to be pushed every now and then. But I want to thank you again, Amira, for just being the amazing friend that you are, and for doing this podcast with me for the last year. Aww. It's been great. It's been really great.
Yeah, thank you. I feel like you put the real effort into, like, you know, because we talked about it for a little bit, but like, you were the one who was like, okay, we're doing this. Like, I'm setting up the account. I looked everything up to figure out how to do what we want to do, and you made it happen, and I really appreciate that. And I also feel like you challenged me too with my sort of critical eye when watching things, and I also liked when we disagreed on certain things, because I feel like it was like,
I don't know, it was interesting because you and I have such a similar opinion on a lot of things, like more so even than my other queer friends.
Oh yeah,
and so it was so interesting just to get like that insight in your mind of like how you saw things differently. But to all of our listeners, we also thank you.
Thank you
for sticking with us no matter how many episodes you listen to. We appreciate your support and we hope that you've enjoyed listening. Of course, we will keep you posted via Twitter if/when we do come back and how that will work out.
We're not disappearing forever, but we need this break and we hope you understand and can respect that. So we love you and happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
Yeah. Woo!